We're going to go over here to this server. Are we up? Windows 2000 default installed. I'm going to infect it. With NIMDA. This will simulate somebody coming in and popping the box remotely. So NIMDA loads a couple of pieces of itself. I'll just throw that up there. So are we ready? Yeah. How about do that? So what we're going to do now, this guy isn't listening yet, but if you look over at this monitor, you can kind of get a feel for how much traffic is generated from an attacking box. It takes NIMDA a minute to initialize because it's going through and looking for all the available vectors and open shares and things of that nature. But that other box we had sitting there in server mode starts throwing out ARP requests. What? I know. But I didn't want it to. It's very efficient. This is a modified version of NIMDA that scans just the subclass. It's a 10.1.1 address, but we're treating it as a C class. So this modified version of it, which we're going to put on the website for you guys to test, will... That's all. It's just research and development. So you can see all the traffic that's being generated. And it goes through the subnet, and it's actually pretty quick. So how about execute the script? So this guy's going to listen. It might take it a minute for it to actually hit this IP address, but I've got a couple of jokes prepared in case that's the case. Oh, too late. So what we do is now we got the request. We go through using some traversal. We put the files we need on there. We call the IDQ DLL. We've now escalated privileges on there. Oh, switch, switch, switch. Oh, good. You're good. Now it's going to sleep for a little while. It doesn't have to sleep this long, but the IDQ DLL, we wanted the thread to end so as we knew that the next call, that will be fixed. Actually, right now, the problem with that is if anybody else happens to go to this box and execute something, it'll be in system. Then that machine goes bye-bye. So what we've done is we've changed the boot sequence over here so that before NIMDA can run again, our mutex is going to load into memory. So when this box comes back up, no matter how many times they try to run NIMDA, they can't. The web server stays running. All the services are available. Anything else that box was doing will be available. Okay? I consider this to be a not just reasonable, but like minimal force needed to get a box to stop attacking us. Yes, sir. We reboot it one time. You know, it could be, you know, but shooting somebody five times in the head, it could be justified. And that's what we're really here to talk about. I mean, what if it was your box and you were attacking other people and you didn't know it? And you're infecting other people's boxes and you're utilizing bandwidth. Would you mind that your box was rebooted? Or would you rather continue to be infecting everybody and attacking everybody and causing people who don't do this the administrative overhead of contacting you, contacting your ISP, firing off emails in early... blackholing your address. How am I going to know what? Oh, I'll show you. You can cash that check after the... Okay. When they log into the box, and there's other things that we can do. I mean, we could do, remember, we can do anything we want. I mean, we could send emails out. We could do a net broadcast to everybody and say, hey, my God, this machine is infected, but we've saved you. But, I mean, you know, we don't want to necessarily do that. It's Ryan from Security Focus. I'm not going to... Hi, I'm the NIMDA inoculator. See, it's very pleasant and friendly. I've been installed because your computer is infected with NIMDA, because you are a moron. Please take the appropriate steps, blah, 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 blah. So how about open a DOS shell on that guy and then run NIMDA a couple of times, please? Hey, it's like it knew. Okay, and if you would be so kind as to switch to the sniffer. Now, he's waiting again. If the administrator walks up to that box and goes, screw it, closes that program, NIMDA's going to start up again. But I'm not going to do anything else to him over here. I mean, I've done my thing. I've got his IP. We know what's happened. These results have been, we know that we have successfully stopped him from attacking us. If he starts to do it again, we're going to take some other venue. Yes, ma'am. Well, I mean, I don't think it's more likely. I mean, so the question is, if we do this, it stops advertising the fact that it's infected with NIMDA, yet it is, and that the conditions exist that would allow this box to be infected again. Doesn't that, in fact, make that box somewhat more vulnerable to somebody who might go back through their logs? I mean, I don't think so. We're going to notify the administrator, and that notification is going to be, all right. So let's now kind of fast forward a little bit to where we're having intelligent dialogue about implementing a framework for this sort of thing to exist. So we're going to identify NIMDA as a threat that warrants neutralizing in this manner. I'm not saying that we're necessarily the ones who get to do that. I mean, sticking a box like this on a Class A somewhere could have a lot of success. So I think what we would do is, once it stopped attacking us, there could be a framework in place to notify the administrator in a different way, via email, via contact, or what have you. I bet you're much more likely to get a response from someone that says, you had NIMDA since your box was attacking us, you know, in pursuant to article blah of blah, you know, we took minimum force required to clean your box. You're still infected. You should do your job. You know, I think something like that would be in place. But I mean, I think it's a lot better to do this and stop the box from advertising than it is to allow it to continue to eat up our bandwidth and let somebody else who has malicious intent store those addresses and then compromise the box for their own purposes. Because that's what's being done. People wait for this. They know the box is vulnerable, and they'll fix it, and the administrator will never know. They never know they had it in the first place. Now they don't know that they've been rooted. So, let's get to where we can ask all those questions. Can you bring that slide back up? Hit the little, the secret button. Okay. Next. Okay, considerations. It's like I knew you were going to say that. Proxied attacks. You know, yeah, we're going to have to make some allowances for how this is going to work. People behind a NAT device. And the thing is that we would try to attack back neutralize the NAT box, and it would fail. Fails, we bail. We log it, and then we move on. And then maybe, you know, where I think the real value of this is like an outbreak stage, right? I mean, imagine if something, all the other stuff aside and all of the emotional aspects of this aside, we all paid the price for Code Red and NIMDA. So if something like this was in place early warning, everybody would have benefited. So we need to define what an attack is. we also need to define what an acceptable defense is, what an acceptable method of striking back is. And this can be from consensus. You know, I think we've illustrated a minimal force used to stop the attack, you know, and I think similar types of technology can be used. Future worms, you know, international law is a big consideration. What if it's a Chinese box that attacks us? A new friend of mine today was telling me about, you know, we can't have a law that's going to allow us to strike back against a Chinese box. So I say, do it anyway. Okay, so now let's get to some, you know, some of the discussion part. Yes, sir. Well, the privilege that I'm going to take out the privilege I'm going to take out the process of putting iUser and iWAM in the administrators group. We will still use privilege escalation to inject or load the mutex file at that point. It's just that that singular process will perform all of those things rather than, in this case, having to gain access to the box, and then once I have it, then load the mutex. You see what I'm saying?
I'm just curious, how ethical is it to put code out there that has those privileges?
Oh. Well, it's already out there. The question was, how ethical is it to put code out there that has those privileges? I mean, really what we're going to, the code's already out there. Most of you guys don't have it. But, that code is out there. I think the future version of it would be much more ethical than me having, like, if I put this version up on the website and that IDQ DLL is there, well, script kiddies dream. They're going to pop any box that's vulnerable, but they can do it anyway. So that's why I want to remove that functionality from it. So as my tool will be very, very singular. It will be designed for NMDA or for the blocking of the outbound port that's doing the attacking, and which in most cases, it's best practices anyway for our web servers not to make outbound 80 calls, right? It's best practices for SQL Server not to make a 1433 outbound call. I'm going to go around in a circle. So,
think of it as your system is your dog. The attacking system is another dog. It's rabbit.
There's a lot of interesting. He's saying rather than thinking of it as self-defense, look at it like a good dog, bad dog kind of analogy. And I think a lot of that would fit. I just haven't found a legal analogy that would necessarily hold any water. Now, does this hold any water at all? The self-defense thing? I just don't think that scales well. And I understand what you're saying on a case-by-case basis, but we're talking about hundreds of thousands of machines. And in the interim, we're talking about the capability of, you know, some serious damage to the infrastructure. So, and this is what I enjoy. This is the kind, some rich dialogue about, you know, what about this and what about that, but not the stuff like, oh, you're pinging me, I'm going to hack you back, you know, stuff like that. Hold on, I said this gentleman over here. That's certainly it's attractive to be, I'm attracted to that kind of justification, but I still think, I think if our basis is I'm doing a good thing for people, kind of justification, if that's what I'm using as my justification from a moral and ethical standpoint, I think there's at some point, it's a gray area. You know, this might be, yes, I'm doing a great thing and everybody thinks I'm doing a great thing, but if the circumstances change a little bit, you're a lot closer to doing a bad thing. That's why I'm more concerned with having some legal basis that we can point to and some statute and some, you know, this is good because of this reason and here's some case law and blah, blah, blah. But you certainly would. You could save, and you not only save the people the embarrassment, you know, you're saving other machines that are vulnerable. I was going to get him, then I'll get you guys, and I'll move over that way. Yes, sir. But you're a CISSP. Oh, no, it's a... What's that stand for, anyway?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. Well, you know, my only problem with that, and I understand, and I think theoretically that that's true. Oh, I'm sorry. The question was that he thinks that there is law that's in place that allows people to be held responsible if they don't secure their networks adequately, they attack me and do damage. Then I can take that person to court and do something like that. I mean, I guess I'm kind of, I want the best of both worlds. I want some legal basis for this while being able to bypass the legal red tape. Right? Which probably isn't fair. But, I mean, my only issue is that typically legal remedies, you know, are limited to people who have just either a lot of time and money or like a really good case. I mean, who's been sued for NMDA? Right? I mean, I would think that if it was a viable means of doing something, we already would have seen it in a year. Well, and that might, right, I mean, you know, but I want to be the poor man's friend. You know, I just want to, you know, I mean, I think, so yeah, I mean, I think there's arguably a lot that would have to happen here, you know, but I mean, I think, and that's kind of like how self-defense is now. It kind of made its way. I mean, I'm sure before self-defense was self-defense that, you know, people were thinking about how that could be made into a law, and other people were saying, well, man, that's going to be abused. Somebody's going to say that they were just attacked by him, you know. Somebody's going to shoot somebody to kill him and say that they attacked him. You know, so I mean, I'm sure we'll have the same sort of problems. And as far as the intel, I reserve judgment until there is a ruling on that case. Oh, is there? Damn it. All right, we only got 5 minutes. There's a couple of, well, and you know, and I, yeah, but, all right, so the question is that people should be able to opt in to asking for assistance with this sort of stuff. I think that's a already know what you're talking about before you need what you need mindset, though. I mean, because if you already think that you need help, you probably are already at the presence of mind that you can install a service pack. Look, before, one more, can we go forward? There's a couple of people. Are you on the phone? In addition to Keith and Ryan, I want to thank Blue Boar, who helped me with my coding, some technical guidance and research, J.D. Glosser, who did some technical guidance, things that I enter, Jeremiah Grossman, who had the outbound port idea, which I thought was great. He wrote, J.D. is doing the new fire and water tools, which are outstanding. Jeremiah wrote White Hat Sex Arsenal, which is great. Jennifer Granick, who gave me some legal opinions and consultation. And Jennifer's great. I don't know if you know Jennifer or not, but I'd break a law just to get her to defend me, if you know what I mean. Say what? Right. Blaine Kubesch, I have no idea who he is, but he's the one who told me about, you know, if you do a name mutex before NMDA does, it won't run. And Scott Culp, who was also, he's with some security company, who had some opinions and feedback for me too. So I want to make sure I thank those people. Actually, I want to thank you guys for coming out and at least talking about this, and no one's thrown an apple at me yet, so that's pretty good. Okay, so a few questions now. When the time's up, you guys can run, but I mean...
I got a point to add very quickly. There's a feedback system up. The IP address is 172.16.0.2. I know everybody already knows about this feedback system, but put some discussion in there. And I've got a stack of books up here for everybody who is adding feedback and proving to me that they did it. Just show me that you logged out of the feedback system, and I'll give you... I have the first four people up here, like, starting now. So...
All right, so anybody else, thank you very much. If you guys want to leave, if you want to stay here and us hash this out, that's great.